the best carnival music I could find right there.
That was a great song.
Been a long time since I played carnival music here on the show.
Circus hasn't been in town for a while.
It was in town last night on Raw. I think I may have played carnival music one time during, like, an Impact. But in general, the last time I played carnival music was during the dying days of WCW. What a coincidence. Raw sucked a cock last night. You know?
It was no good.
A giant cock. Oh my god, this show. I'm not even really all that mad anymore. I've given up on the product.
I actually did not watch the show until Tuesday evening, which means I had 24 hours of ample notice. All I knew about the show was that it was awful and that Triple H was hated.
Mm-hmm.
And understood why. But because I had the sufficient time, a full day, literally a full day to brace myself, when I watched it, it just kind of rolled off me. I never, with one exception, I never really got angry about anything. I just said, that was stupid. On to the next segment.
See, I had somewhat of a similar experience. I didn't watch it until 11 o'clock last night. So I had also had ample warning.
Yeah.
Had text messages sent all night. And it was like that for a little while. I thought, man, what a stupid show, and laughed it off. But by the end, it was just too much. It was too much by the end. Just too much. This is a horrible television show, everybody. And it's even worse. Like, I don't know. I was really mad last night. I don't even care all that much anymore, because let's face it. If WWE dies, who cares?
Yeah.
There's a lot of old wrestling that we can just go back and watch. It's not like I'm never going to have stuff to talk about. It's not like I'm not going to be able to do a radio show if there's no WWE. There's always going to be somebody trying to run wrestling, usually unsuccessfully. There's always going to be something to have a laugh about. And there's always going to be a million tapes and DVDs to go through. May not be a 24/7, but I'm sure I can get some DVDs somewhere.
There will be a YouTube.
There'll be somebody to send me stuff to watch. I'm not worried. May as well go out of business. What a horrible show. It's not just that the show was bad, but it was like, you know, I've seen bad wrestling shows before. I've seen shows with bad matches. I've seen shows with some bad angles and that sort of thing. But there's usually, like, something good on the show. Like, everybody's mentioning the Dr. Ken edition of Raw, which was a horrible show, mind you. It was a horrible show. But I bet that if I went back and checked out that report, I'll bet there was at least, like, a good match on there. I'm almost positive there'd be a good match, or at least some segment that was good. Should I do that right now?
Why don't you look that up?
Why don't you start talking about Raw, and I'm going to go back and find the Jeremy Piven edition of Raw, and let's take a look at my Raw report for that day, and let's find out if, in fact, there was not a single redeeming thing on the show, like last night, where there was not one single redeeming segment.
All right, Raw opened with a recap of last week's walkout.
Oh, look at that. August 3rd, 2009. I already found the date. Okay, go ahead.
There were no announcers there. There were, without explanation, cameramen all over the place. The crowd was chanting Boomer Sooner, which should have been an omen in hindsight. Cut backstage where there was nobody. Hunter walked out of his office, walked around backstage. There were random WWE employees who had not walked out. Hunter was not the only man in the building. There was people there. There was someone to play his music, for example, and as I talked about the cameraman, and no one ever mentioned why only these people had stuck around. So Hunter came out, he did his whole entrance, talked about the people who had walked out, said they walked out of the fans. He said everyone was outside protesting and they had their gear, but none of them would perform for the fans unless he stepped down. He vowed not to quit, said everyone who was protesting could kiss him, quote, where my cheeks meet. Which is a phrase I never need to hear again from anyone.
His ass.
I know that. If you said kiss my ass, I'd have been fine.
By the way, are you aware that the Dr. Ken edition of Raw was over 2 years ago?
No, I was not.
God damn, how fast? Why does time move so fast? It's not just because I'm old.
I was going to say we're old.
I mean, Jesus, God almighty. 2 years ago? It seems like it was like last week it was so bad. All right, go on.
Hunter said that if he had to, he would wrestle a broomstick for 2 hours, and he said the broomstick would give him a better match than most guys in the parking lot. this is one of the moments where a lot of people, and I understand why, a lot of people got very angry here. I would think the people in the parking lot most of all, but I just, you know, I laughed it off. What a stupid thing to say. And all I could think was, if they're that useless, why do you want them back? And if they're that useless, why should I, as a fan, care that they walked out? So he threatened to have a match with this broomstick. It was, he was cutting a, as a promo, his delivery was great and people were going crazy for it. Cena came out, said everyone wanted him to join the walkout. Hunter hadn't even sent him a text. He listed all the shitty bosses he had worked for: Vince, Bischoff, Vicky, 56 celebrities, an anonymous computer, and Mike Adamly. Said if he got through that, he could get through Hunter's reign. He vowed to stay.
Go on.
Sheamus came out. Said 2 years ago he attacked Hunter with a pipe. Hunter didn't complain or take legal action. He came back and gave him the arse kicking of a lifetime. And he was sure to point out that today the result would be different, but he respected Hunter and he had tried to follow his principles. He didn't leave Ireland to sit out there with all those losers. And Punk came out. Said he was the guy who made walking out look cool, but he wasn't. He didn't break his contract or his word. He was trying to prove a point to his company, not to a man. I have no idea what CM Punk's point is anymore or what change he's looking for. He was the guy who said he wanted change, and here he was sticking up for the establishment.
You know, it's funny and ironic. It's not Punk's fault.
No.
But ever since Punk started talking about how he wants change and he wants wrestling to be fun again, it's gotten progressively worse. Yes. And you know what I mean? That's a true statement.
Yes.
It has gotten worse and worse and worse since his angle started.
Yeah. So he said that this whole industry is based around men solving their problems in these ropes. Said he thrived on an unsafe working environment. He said this is professional wrestling, it ain't ballet. Made fun of the guys having their hippie sit-in. And they said, what do we do now? Hunter said, well, why don't you wrestle you, Sheamus wrestle Cena. I'll referee and Punk can announce. And at this point, we got like the... there was a 5 or 10 second stretch here where I very briefly loved the show. CM Punk and Hunter fucking around with each other. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I have no...
I don't know why either, because Punk came off as the biggest dork at this point.
It made me laugh.
If that's all you care about, then there you go.
Great. If it made me laugh, would that not be the highlight of the show?
I guess.
Yeah. So, yes, I think it's also because I have no trouble believing these two men in real life absolutely despise each other. So watching them fuck around and be all chummy was odd. So Punk went to announce if he could wear Hunter's blazer. And they wrestled a little bit, went to commercial. When they came back...
Actually, before you go on,
mm-hmm.
we're gonna go segment by segment here.
Raw versus the...
Raw versus the
Dr. Ken show, yes.
The Dr. Ken show.
I almost said Adamly show.
Find out which show was actually worse. So that was the opening segment of this show. Let's go back 2 years. 2 years, everybody!
Back in time.
My God, 2 years ago. It's unbelievable. So, 2 years ago, Raw opened with Jeremy Piven coming out as the guest host, along with Dr. Ken, and they were very annoying. And as they're being obnoxious, Piven running down and causing his pyro to go off, they announce Triple H versus Legacy. How ironic. We'll get into that. And Miz came out to save the day here on this show. He wanted John Cena. He wanted Piven to make it happen. And then Cena came out. They plugged some damn movies and that sort of thing. This was where Piven announced that if Miz lost, I guess at SummerSlam, he would be, quote, banned from Summerfest. Which, by the way, he lost, and he subsequently was not banned from Summerfest. For those of you that remember that stipulation, another one killed. Yes. So, anyway, you don't remember Summerfest?
I remember the line. I don't remember the part about Miz being banned.
And then Cena said, if I lose, please ban me from Raw for eternity. I wrote, and I quote, this was an all-time horrible segment, the worst kind of train wreck TV. So, yes, the opening segment on this show sucked as well.
All right. So, Cena wrestled Sheamus for about 2 minutes. He went to commercial, wrestled for another minute. Out walks Vince McMahon. We last saw this man being relieved of his duties and weeping openly in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Just walked out here, and Vince said that he had to talk to Hunter, had everyone else leave. They just left, and we're never seen again. Oh, Punk was seen again. Cena and Sheamus were never seen again.
Yes.
They just vanished.
They all just went away.
Yeah.
A man who, like, is no longer employed came out and said, hey, can y'all please leave? And the rebel CM Punk was the first to just bolt.
Yes.
Wow.
So, this man who he was not employed, was still chosen by the board of directors to act as messenger on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And he explained to Hunter that since everyone had walked out and had threatened to walk out of future events, such as live events, pay-per-views, perhaps even WrestleMania, the board of directors could not handle this risk, and so Hunter was fired.
Just out of curiosity, mm-hmm. So the board of directors called Vince and they said, listen, we're sorry we gave you a vote of no confidence and took away the company that you created from scratch, but listen, we need you to deliver a message for us.
Maybe he's looking for work.
That's what happened? Now, if why don't we go back and say, okay, well, Hunter had delivered the message to Vince after he was named the new COO. So why wasn't John Laurinaitis the one that came out and alerted Hunter that he was fired and he was a replacement? Wouldn't that have made sense? Why was Vince here?
I don't know.
Aside from the fact that he just had to get himself back on TV.
Yes. Mm. So he announced that Hunter had been relieved of his duties and said, Hunter wasn't in charge. I'm not in charge. No McMahon is in charge. He said they were looking for a permanent GM, but for now, the interim GM is Johnny East.
Wasn't the interim GM a fucking computer? And didn't they say that exact same thing when they started that gimmick? That we're going to use this anonymous GM until we find someone better?
I don't remember. They may
have. I do! Because you know what? I pay attention. And unfortunately, I'm not rewarded for it.
No.
That's why this show sucks. That's why everybody hates wrestling nowadays.
Yes.
Back to 2009, we had Jack Swagger versus Evan Bourne, which was a rematch from the week before where Evan Bourne beat Jack Swagger. So here in the rematch, Jack Swagger beat Evan Bourne clean with the Dr. Bomb.
Okay. That's eerie. That sounds like it could have happened in any month of 2011.
Of course, because
nothing
things never change.
Ever changes.
That's why nobody ever gets over.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he had another Dr. Bomb, and MVP ran out to save his little buddy.
Well, that's what changes. People get out.
Mm.
People escape WWE these days.
And we also had clips of Shaq versus The Big Show from the week before. Anybody remember that?
I do, actually. That was great.
And Cole was going nuts, saying it got all this press. And, of course, that led to nothing. So there you go.
All right. So, back in 2011, everyone who had walked out walked back in. John Morrison walked up to Johnny Ace, his new boss, said he sucked.
So, again, why did he walk back in?
I don't know.
He was pissed off. He took a stand against Triple H, and then an even worse person was hired as COO, so he just came back to work.
I suppose.
He was made to look a pussy.
Oh, it was just beginning for this young man.
Mm.
So, Johnny Ace, since Morrison told him he sucked, he said, you have a match now, get to the ring. Don't even go change, even though Hunter had said they all had their gear. He sent him down to the ring in street clothes. Christian walked up, tried to suck up to Johnny Ace, and Johnny said, go wrestle Morrison. That was it. And the announcers walked out.
So back in 2009, we had backstage idiocy with Dr. Ken and Piven. And Sho walked in and said he wanted Shaq, and they said no. And Sho said, well, fine, I want a match with you, Jeremy Piven. It'll get ratings, and it'll get the internet buzzing. That's what he said there in 2009. And Piven said no, but, well, listen, I'll give you a U.S. title shot against Kofi Kingston. And at which point Lawler cut back and said, and I quote, I love Dr. Ken. That's what he said.
That sounds like something Jerry Lawler would say.
I also wrote, they had a clip from Piven's movie, and it looks like the worst movie in film history.
Okay, just keep that quote in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Morrison versus Christian. The wrestlers did not have their gear, but the referee did have a striped shirt. So the wrestlers did not have time to change. But the referee did, or they actually wear the striped shirts all over the place, like that one guy from the Urban Wrestling Federation.
Could be.
So they wrestled a few minutes, maybe three, and then Dolph and Swagger and Cody Rhodes, they all came out with Christian, and they distracted him, and they distracted Morrison, and Christian hit him with a spear and pinned him. And then they all took turns hitting their finishers and destroying this man. Didn't everyone leave because Raw had unsafe working conditions?
That's why they left, yes.
There were four men here assaulting one man.
Well, yeah, but it's John Morrison.
All right, then.
Back in 2009, in the equivalent match, Mickey and Gail Kim, Mickey James, everybody, and Gail Kim beat Beth and Jillian. And it was a match with four girls who could work. Beth got the win with the bitch clamp. And Finish I Wrote was kind of a mess. And at that point, Beth's name, for those of you that are pissed off when we called the Bitch Clamp, it didn't have a name yet. They called it, quote, the devastating move right there. Cole, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So that segment didn't sound horrible.
That sounds...
So already right there, this is that show in 2009 was better than last night's Raw.
Hunter confronted Laurinaitis backstage. Laurinaitis defended himself, said he didn't want the job. The board appointed him. And he spouted some other bullshit, and Hunter saw right through it and asked him if he had ever tried to pick up his teeth with broken fingers. At this point, Mark Henry came out. Actually, I take that back. Mark Henry came out. They went to commercial. Then after the commercial, they showed the John Hunter or John Laurinaitis versus Hunter segment. And then Henry cut a promo. So he came out and just stood in the ring for a good 10 minutes. He said that he would take on anyone who was the number one contender. He showed clips of SmackDown, said he took Big Show's punishment, and he was still here. And he said, vengeance is mine. And then we heard Randy Orton's disembodied voice saying, no, vengeance is mine. And that was the match, Orton versus Henry again.
So Orton was just standing by with a mic, waiting to see what Henry was going to say so he could make a witty comeback.
Sure.
I'd love to have seen that on a split screen. Back in 2009, Triple H was wrestling as well. He faced Legacy, 2-on-1.
So Legacy here would have been DiBiase and Cody Rhodes.
I believe so.
Okay.
Now, I know many of you are listening to this right now and you're sure you know the finish. Hunter beats both men. Well, guess what? You're wrong. In fact, they beat Hunter. He was hit with the crossroads and he was pinned. I wrote, and I quote, people were so shocked that they popped big. This briefly saved the show. At which point, the show kind of fell apart as Hunter woke up, grabbed the mic, and said, and I quote, ow, ow, that hurt. That did not go as I planned.
I remember that. He was kind of, I believe he cut that promo from his back.
Yes. He made light of this loss. He said he was going to, maybe he will bring back the Evolution. Nobody cared. He said now that he thought about it, Randy was a jerk. Batista got hurt all the time. And Ric Flair, quote, was out signing autographs at a VFW or something. He then said, maybe I'll make a phone call. And if you're not down with that, I have two words for you. And everyone went nuts. And I quote here again, they made the entire thing seem like a big-ass joke. Bearing Legacy after they'd just gotten what should have been one of their biggest clean wins ever, revolting. So, that did in fact suck, but it started out all right. Which is more than I can say about anything on last night's show. Then we had a segment, Piven, Ken, and Chavo were backstage. And Chavo said that he loved Jeremy Piven on Fear Factor, which at the time I found fucking hilarious. Because Piven does look exactly like Joe Rogan. And Piven then did not know Hornswoggle's name. He called him the Horn Gobbler, which is that right there, funnier than anything on this show. And he called Chavo, I believe, Charles or perhaps Charo. Although I did write another wretched segment.
The Horn Gobbler.
The Horn Gobbler.
All right. So in 2011, Randy Orton versus Mark Henry. So the whole point of this awesome, awesome feud is that Orton and Henry had a match. Orton couldn't hit the RKO. Henry beat him. They had a rematch. Orton hit the RKO this time, but Henry kicked out, and then Henry beat him. So now they're having their third match here. Orton is set up for the RKO when Cody runs down to distract him. Orton, despite the distraction, manages to hit the RKO, at which point Cody attacked him for the DQ.
As he was pinning Mark Henry.
Mark Henry was rescued. So much for Mark Henry the Indestructible.
This fucking sucks.
After all, this is the point where I got angry.
And it went a minute.
Yeah. This was the point where I got angry. After all
you
want to
get really
done,
angry? I'll make you angry. Spoiler alert, everybody. You want to know what the main event is on SmackDown this week?
You know, I looked at it and I already forgot.
Mark Henry against Randy fucking Orton.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
There you go.
I hate this company today.
It's not doing very well. Yeah, so much for Mark Henry's, 15 years of being a mid-carder. They made him a main eventer in 4 months, and pull the rug right out from under him here. As they always do.
In 1 minute.
As they always do.
Horn gobbler.
So then, apparently they realized what they had done here. They tried to have Henry get his heat back. He laid Orton out with a pair of World's Strongest Slams.
I thought you laid him out with a pair.
He may have done that too. And again, so yes, he hits his finisher on Orton, leaves. Cody then attacks like a vulture. He picks the bones and he hits Crossroads. And at this point, he called out a bagger. The bagger dashed to the ring in, I think, the greatest display of athleticism in this entire show. This bagger was hauling. He handed Cody a paper bag, and they put a paper bag on Randy Orton's head.
Mm-hmm.
And Randy Orton cackled like the Riddler or something. Lawler called it the ultimate humiliation.
This giggling was... The bags...
Everything about this.
And then the voice.
This is phony.
And now the giggling.
And stupid.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny?
And not entertaining.
I don't even know if it's funny or not, but I'm not saying that I take credit for this, because I think Cody would probably be smart enough to figure this out. But on Thursday, when was it that I was ranting and raving about these fucking bags
over
and the
over
fucking
again
voice?
Since June.
Anyway, Cody, the house shows this weekend. He came out, no bags, and when he did his promos, he didn't do the voice. So apparently he's figured it out and he's not fucking doing it on the house shows. But they're making him do this shit on television.
Hmm. So, yes, one other note here. We had Randy Orton destroyed by two men and they assaulted him repeatedly and hit all sorts of moves on him illegally. And again, how is this not an unsafe working environment? Why don't you walk back out?
I don't know. I'm excited at the idea of Randy versus Cody matches, but not if I have to see the bags and listen to the voice and the giggling. That's going to kill this for me. Just Cody Rhodes is good at being Cody Rhodes.
Yes.
He doesn't have to be a movie villain. It's so fake. And we had, back in 2009, Carlito versus Primo. Carlito, the laziest goddamn fucker in the world at this point, and his brother who always tried his ass off. So, of course, Carlito beat him.
Right.
And Carlito wasn't working it. Primo was working his ass off, and Carlito was going through the motions, and Carlito got the win. Yeah, 2009, everybody.
How things are done.
So then Chavo came out for a match with Horn Gobbler, and Piven said the midget got a case of adult chicken pox and couldn't compete, so Chavo's opponent would be, three guesses, Vince.
Big Show.
No. Oh. Mark Swoggle. Think about this.
Ah.
2 years ago, Mark Henry was wearing his giant red Kool-Aid Man singlet and a leprechaun hat. And he came out and obviously beat Chavo.
At least he won.
At least he won. So there you go. Can you believe that? 2 years ago, Mark Henry was dressed up as the Kool-Aid Man.
Dude, that's
doing
what Mark
comedy.
Henry was doing. He was doing that for the first 14 and a half years of his career.
Sure.
And then it changed, not quite overnight, but
sure,
it changed quickly because when you push a guy like that, it works and he gets over.
Because he's...
And the guy has talent.
Because he's big. He's, and scary. And he had a hell of a promo, actually, on the show.
On Raw or the Raw you're reviewing? He had a great promo on SmackDown.
He did a great promo on SmackDown and on Raw last night. Anyway. All right.
The 2011 women's tag match. Rosa and Tamina versus Kelly and Eve. I like the part where Kelly was doing her back handspring in the corner and just about kicked Rosa's face off. And Eve finally pinned Tamina with a moonsault. They cut backstage where Beth and Natalya were bummed. Probably they're bummed because they have to wrestle Kelly and Eve more.
Then we had, back in 2009, Piven met with Orton, wanted to be a special ring announcer for the Cena match, and Orton got angry. Shocking. And scared them. And I wrote at this point, to be honest, Piven isn't that bad. It's the goddamn Dr. Ken that I never need to see again, ever. And then we had a poll about Shaq versus The Big Show. Did they actually wrestle at that SummerSlam?
Shaq and Big Show?
Yes.
No. No, they did not. I would remember Shaquille O'Neal wrestling at SummerSlam.
Why in the motherfuck were they building this up then?
I don't know. To try and
hold
get,
on a minute. To they try had and get to have more done buzz. Something. Had to have done something at SummerSlam.
No, they didn't.
Let's see here. Good God, you're right. All of this talk about Big Show and Shaquille O'Neal led to Jericho and the Big Show against Crime Time at SummerSlam that year. Are you fucking kidding me?
There you go.
Jesus, God almighty.
Okay. So, after the women's tag match, Johnny Ace came out.
Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention. They had a poll. Who would win, Shaq versus the Big Show? Now, keep in mind, whenever you do a poll about a real fight in UFC, it's almost always 51 to 49.
Mm-hmm.
You know, almost always, without exception. You know, sometimes I can't even think of a fight that they've had that's been like terribly skewed. But here they asked the WWE Universe who would win, and obviously they did not fix the poll because the results had 81% of fans believing that Shaquille O'Neal would beat the Big Show in a wrestling match.
Awesome.
Yes, they put this on their television show. Wow.
All right. So Johnny Ace came out. He quickly, casually and trivially announced Alberto Del Rio will be defending his WWE Championship on the pay-per-view against John Cena in 2 weeks. He made this announcement, and I wrote it down here, and by the end of the show, I had forgotten. It was done so quickly, with so little fanfare, by a man with so little charisma, that it slipped my mind. It got no reaction. He then started talking about how he was a man of ethics and morals, and it was time to do the ethical and moral thing. He brought JR into the ring. He very quickly called JR an ingrate who walked out of the man who gave him a job, and he fired him. Jim Ross did not give a shit. He tipped his hat to him, went out, shook hands with Lawler, grabbed his stuff, and split.
You know what? This was, obviously, this. I don't want to call it a shoot, because he wasn't really fired, but...
He was removed as...
He was blindsided.
Yeah.
This was not in the script.
Of course.
But you know what? I mean, let's be honest here. If you're Jim Ross, and you're sitting in the booth, and in the middle of the show, John Laurinaitis comes out, and he calls you unscripted into the ring,
mm-hmm.
you know exactly what he's going to say. You know exactly what he's going to say.
Something shitty is going to happen to you.
You know you're going to get fired.
I mean,
I could tell from his reaction that he was blindsided by it,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, it wasn't like he didn't expect that to happen when he was called into the ring. He had to know. I mean, he just had to know.
Yeah.
I mean, most people watching it that know anything about Oklahoma probably knew that this was what was going to happen. So, anyway, whole thing's bullshit.
So, yes, they...
What's new?
They worsened their product, so Vince McMahon, the guy who runs the anti-bully campaign, could get off on bullying the grandfather with Bell's palsy.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you anymore.
We had Show and Kofi Kingston back in 2009. Speaking of commentary, Chris Jericho did commentary. And Kofi made a comeback. And Show gave him a spear and was punching him in the corner. And the ref gave him a 5 count. And he didn't stop punching. And so he was disqualified.
Ah, yes. The worst finish that he can ever do.
And
disqualified for kicking too much ass.
Jericho screamed, and I quote, after the DQ, "For what? For dominating the match? For destroying Kofi Kingston?"
Yes.
I wrote, and I quote, "Chris Jericho did commentary for this match, and it was great." So again, better than last night's show. We had Hunter on the phone backstage. He was making a call, obviously. And this was the awesome phone call where Hunter says, "Have you been watching Raw?" And the guy on the other line said, "No." Because why would anyone watch his fucking show even 2 years ago?
I hope he said fuck no, or perhaps even what's Raw.
And then they announced next week the guest host, Sergeant Slaughter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In 2011, Mason Riley and Air Boom.
Mason Riley? What
the hell's his name?
Mason Ryan.
Mason Ryan. What is it? Andy Mason? I forget. That big Welsh dude. And Air Boom versus Jack Swagger and Dolph Ziggler and David Otunga. There's a spot here where the spot would have been Mason would hang Swagger in the Tree of Woe, and Evan and Kofi would hit stereo seated drop kicks on the apron. This sounds really simple. I don't know whose fault this was. I suspect Mason. But my God, did this go badly. Everyone was out of position. Horrible. So they did their match. Other than that, it was okay until Evan got caught going for a move, and Swagger hit him with an enormous power bomb. And sadly, this turned out to be a shoot power bomb. Evan was apparently hurt. And they went through things.
I don't think he was hurt.
You think it was at work?
I'm almost positive.
All right.
No, he might have been hurt, but they
he
were...
He did not work the SmackDown tapings. I did see that.
Well, yeah. He but I think that was a work.
I do recall thinking at the time, holy shit, that was an enormous powerbomb.
Yes.
So I would not be surprised if it was legit. And eventually, Mace...
I think it was a fake injury they'll forget about next week.
Entirely possible.
Yeah.
Entirely possible. Eventually, Mason pinned Dolph with a spinning slam. So, yes, the big, clumsy, awkward musclehead is now going to challenge for the U.S. title. Not that that means anything anyway, but of all the people to have wrestled Dolph, they're picking the big, immobile guy. We had a Brodus Clay video. Now, we had a trailer here for John Cena's next film. It was advertised as an action comedy drama.
Mm-hmm.
They should have said horror love story as well. This movie looks like shit. This
no.
movie, I remember.
Come on, Vinny.
This,
seriously.
I actually remember the clip they showed from Jeremy Piven's movie about the car sales. This looked worse than that. This looked worse than Hunter's latest movie. I don't know if this looked worse than that one. The one movie they were showing, they had commercials for it during Raw. But it looked very, very awful. And I decided by the end, I would rather watch The Marine again before I would see John Cena's new movie.
Hmm.
Much worse than what you said about Piven's trailer.
In 2009, final segment of the show, it was Cena versus Miz, and Piven came out, and I think he turned heel. It's hard to tell who was a babyface and who was a heel back then, but he said he was a big fan of Randy Orton, and he had handpicked every lumberjack. I guess it was a lumberjack match. Anyway, it was Orton, Legacy, Chavo, and Chris Masters, plus Carlito and Jack Swagger. These were the lumberjacks. And we had a bunch of spots, and Cena ended up hitting Miz with the FU for the pin. They said it was the end of Miz on Raw. Write that down. In fact, that's what I wrote. So then Piven went up to the top rope, went for a high cross. Cena caught him. Piven dead-weighted him.
Yes, that I remember vividly.
Yeah. So then Dr. Ken hit Cena with the cane. He begged off. Cena... picked him up over his head, and that also was hard because he didn't know how to go up. And tossed him onto Masters, Carlito, and Swagger. He whacked his head on the cement. That was the end of the show. And then, after goddamn near killing himself, hitting his head on the cement, and that actually got press, if I recall, in different media outlets, he ended up doing an interview somewhere saying, "Oh, I was fine." Which they ended up playing on WWE television the next fucking week.
Excellent.
Yes. Utter shite, I described this show as. It was, in fact, one of the most horrible Raws of all time. But in conclusion, I can say that last night's show was, in fact, much worse.
On that note, Alberto Del Rio versus CM Punk. Cole was openly serving as Vince McMahon's mouthpiece, burying the people of Oklahoma for no reason other than this is what Vince McMahon gets off on. And that's where the point of the show is anymore. It's not about entertaining fans. Not about selling pay-per-views or making money. It's about Vince pleasuring himself. That's all it is. So let's think about this now. Alberto Del Rio versus CM Punk. You have the reigning WWE champion. You have the former champion who lost his belt when Alberto cashed it in. Between the two of them, you've got like 8 world champion reigns. This should be like one of the biggest matches they could book. And they were out there wrestling and no one gave a shit. No one cared.
Well, that's because you see 800,000 people, almost a million people, turned off this show between the first and second hours.
Well, yeah, but the people in the building, do they leave as well?
They left mentally.
I see.
Clearly.
Yeah. So, they wrestled around for a while, and Ace interrupted, perhaps sensing that this is a boring, pointless match. And he announced a tag match of Punk and Alberto versus Truth and Miz. Now, I see what they were going for here. The idea was that Laurinaitis is working with Truth and Miz, so he wanted Punk and Alberto tired so Truth and Miz could beat them easier. The problem is, they wrestled for like 3 minutes. It wasn't particularly intense, and neither guy was all that beat up when they stopped the match.
And you're the only person that told that story.
Yes, I'm sure that's true. I figured out what they were going for. I recognize how badly they failed. So, Two of the Miz versus the incredibly fresh, ready, and healthy CM Punk and Alberto Del Rio.
Mm-hmm.
Wrestled around for a bit. Alberto hit a kick, but at the same time, he sold his leg, tagged in Punk, and he bailed. So now it was a handicap match, CM Punk versus two men. CM Punk was loudly calling the entire thing. Always makes me laugh. And it occurred to me here that the whole point of the walkout was that R-Truth and Mike Mizanin locked themselves in a cell and beat up a bunch of wrestlers and referees and cameramen with lead pipes.
Mm-hmm.
They were the impetus of the walkout.
Mm-hmm.
Now they are back on the show. Nobody walked back out.
Of course not.
No one cared.
Of course not. But Vinny, you're the only one thinking in the storyline.
Yes. Yes, I am. And so eventually, after all this, oh, look at this. What was the finish of this match, Brian? Do you recall? I have forgotten until reading it right now.
It was 2-on-1 in a tag team match.
Mm-hmm.
And the ref was in the middle of giving them the 5 count when the bell ringer rang the bell at 1.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, yes, they were disqualified for kicking too much ass. The worst finish you can do. Hunter ran out to save. Heels were sent packing, and Hunter and Punk were buddies now. Backstage, David Otunga and Johnny Ace were hanging out, and the acting GM, John Laurinaitis, said he would ask the board to book a match. The board of directors, not our board.
Acting the operative term there.
Mm-hmm. To book Miz and Truth versus Hunter and Punk at Vengeance. So, someone else suggested this, that apparently, while Hunter is no longer in charge of Raw, he is apparently still Johnny Ace's boss. Therefore, Johnny Ace, while in charge of Raw, needs permission to book Hunter in matches.
Yes, that is all correct.
Jesus Christ.
This show sucks.
It was no good.
So there you go, everybody. The worst Raw in many, many years. One of the worst of all time. Right there. All right, I think I got a song here. So let me play that very quickly. And then we're going to do a very, very brief SmackDown recap, even though that show is a million... Well, actually, this show was stupid this week.
This is a bad SmackDown.
And then we're going to talk about some world-class championship wrestling, which was so fucking much better than anything this past week. It's not even funny. So let me play this little tune, and then here we go. That was odd.
I have a law degree from Harvard Law School.
Who is the man in the
short sleeve shirt with a bow tie?
Who is the cat with the
charisma of The Rock?
Do you really want to feel him? Habeas corpus, Marvin Tully!
I'm David Otunga.
Attorney at
law. That was great.
There you go, everybody.
David Otunga.
David Otunga, attorney at Raw.
SmackDown. It opened with a 3-minute, 47-second video recap of the walkout. Christ, that's a long time for video baggage.
Indeed it is.
Teddy Long was on the phone telling Hunter he would not let him down. So everyone in the entire company, all the faces, all the heels, the announcers, the cameraman, the referee, they all think Triple H sucks and needs to be fired, except Teddy Long. Because you see, he's a sucker, a fool, and a kiss-ass. Zach showed up, said he only walked out because everyone else did.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know anymore.
Show sucks!
He said Hunter wouldn't be there to ensure there would be no walkout. And Zach asked what was going to happen at Raw, and Teddy didn't know and didn't really
Hunter,
care.
Hunter gave up on SmackDown. Days before a speech where he says he'd never give up.
Yeah.
He'd never back down to these people. Show sucks.
Vicky and her geeks were in the ring. She declared this the 1-year anniversary of SmackDown on Sci-Fi, and they got this show.
Mm-hmm.
And will they make it to year two, is a question.
You know, I just thought of something.
Mm-hmm.
You can't put a bunch of mid-carders together. Ever. I've decided. It just doesn't work.
You just get a bunch of geeks instead of one geek.
If you want to make a star, then you need to get like 3 superstars and put a geek with them and bring the geek up to their level. The geek has to be outnumbered by superstars. Like when, you know, Hunter and Flair and they brought in Batista and Randy Orton.
We're both geeks when it started, but still.
But they became megastars.
Yes.
You can't just put Cody Rhodes and Dolph Ziggler and nothing against any of these guys, except the fans see all of them as geeks. And when you put them together in a group, it just makes a group of geeks.
I would go a step farther and say you have geeks like Dolph and Jack and Cody. Then you put in the reigning WWE champion Alberto and the guy who main evented every pay-per-view for 6 months, Christian. You put them in there and they are dragged down.
Yes. Because you see, the days of when you could have a Triple H and a Ric Flair together to bring up a Batista and a Randy Orton, those days are over. Because you've only got two guys left. You've got John Cena and Randy Orton. Maybe Punk, but really?
No.
You've got John Cena and Randy Orton. So the only way it works is if John Cena and Randy Orton team up together for an extended period of time.
Yes.
And you put, for example, Cody Rhodes in as the third guy. Then Cody Rhodes can eventually become a big star. But they fucked themselves so badly that you can't make a group anymore. Because everybody below Randy Orton and John Cena is booked as a complete geek. A complete geek. Even Alberto Del Rio, they've turned into... they fucked him up a long time ago, but they really fucked him up when Cena beat him. Now he's just another guy. He's just another dude that wins some and loses some. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So they're fucked. Right now, they are fucked.
Yeah, they're... For right now, they're trying to do that with Sheamus, but I'm sure they'll fuck it up eventually.
Who's Sheamus with?
Oh, no, I just meant that he's not a geek right now. He has won a bunch of matches in a row.
Okay, yes, he has.
That's all I'm saying. So anyway, Vicky and her geeks were in the ring. This is one of those promos where you got like eight people, so they each get two sentences. None of them got any reaction except Vicky. So Alberto came out, said he inspired everyone to walk out on Raw. He was here on SmackDown to show the world what they've been missing on Raw. Teddy came out and said if they're going to keep talking, the next people to walk out would be the audience. Yes, he outright said their product was boring. He booked Christian and Cody versus Sheamus and Orton in a completely random main event. Said Alberto would wrestle against his own handpicked opponent, the Mexican sensation Sin Cara. Alberto said there's only one superstar better than any Mexican, and that was himself. We had Alberto versus the real Sin Cara. They are apparently now legitimately calling them Sin Cara Azul and Sin Cara Negro. There's a spot here where Sin Cara tried his handspring elbow, and Del Rio caught him and German suplexed him onto his head. Cool spot. Looked awesome. Also looked very brutal.
Yeah.
Sucks to be Sin Cara. So they're doing this match. Alberto, the only man in the company who actually knows how to work for the mask guy, was tearing at the mask and turning it around like a good lucha heel. Booker T described this tactic as spectacular. And then they're having a fun match, and Sin Cara went up top, and he came off, and whatever they were trying to do, it failed. They did not bother to edit this out.
Well, they couldn't because, what was supposed to happen was Mystico was supposed to go for, like, the top rope lucha arm drag or a clothesline or something like that. And in mid-move, Alberto was supposed to hit his arm breaker. But Alberto forgot the spot. So he picked him back up and hit his arm breaker. And it was impossible to edit it, I think, was the problem. And they didn't do the spot over again, so they had to leave it in
there. I would argue it would have been better if they had just cut to the crowd for a few seconds and then come back and Alberto was winning.
Yeah, but you can't cut to the crowd for the finish. That was the finish.
You cut out the part where Sin Cara goes up top. You cut to fans, and when they come back, Alberto would just magically cut Sin Cara off and he puts his hold on. That would have been better than showing this botch.
I strongly disagree.
All right. So, Alberto won. He left. Out came Sin Cara Negro with his evil Sin Cara music. He attacked Sin Cara Azul using a really cool hammerlock suplex I can't believe I've never seen before. Laid him out with a flip senton. Josh Matthews casually said there was history between these two men going back a long time. He offered no further details. The announcers discussed the walkout. Berger said he only walked out because he had to go to the bathroom. At this point, Colin Matthews executed a perfectly synchronized eye-roll facepalm routine. If you've not seen the animated GIF on our board, it's there. I suspect this was a spontaneous reaction, but if they had rehearsed this a dozen times, it could not have come off any better.
Yeah.
It was gold. Stryker interviewed Air Boom. He asked them why they chose to walk out on Raw. Here's what Evan said. It just feels like it's a culmination of everything that's been going on Raw. What?
The angle, Vinny.
Sucks.
Sucks.
Kofi said it was not Triple H's fault.
The show sucks.
Air Boom versus Swagger and Ziggler. Air Boom debuted new music here, and 3 seconds into their new song, Dolph and Swagger attack them from behind to cut it off. I assume this means Dolph and Swagger do not like that song. And it led me to have the best idea for a feud ever. You need to have one wrestler attack another, beat him up, leave him laying, and they interview him and ask, why did you attack that man? Say, he has shitty ring music.
Sure.
That would be awesome. I nominate Ted DiBiase to get beat up. So, yes, again, we had two men sneak attacking others from behind, and these are also unsafe working conditions. Nobody cares. Shouldn't Air Boom walk out of SmackDown, too? Eventually, Evan got back in. He had been injured by the attack, but he got back in, and then he sold his injuries, and Swagger pinned him with an enormous doctor bomb I wrote, although not nearly as big as the power bomb on Raw. This was fine. A fun match, and the challengers beat the champions in a non-title match to lead to a title match, so whatever. Beth pinned Alicia in 30 seconds with a bitch clamp. They then began to torture Alicia and make her cry. Again, how is this not unsafe working conditions?
The show sucks, Vince.
This next segment did not. Big Show came out, ran down to the ring, ran the ropes for a bit, much better than Kelly Kelly.
I think he did that just to show that he could run the ropes.
Just so he could run the ropes better than Kelly. He wiggled his ass, which was not as good as Kelly Kelly.
Or as good as Andre the Giant.
As, indeed. He said the last 4 months have been brutal. Talked about recovering from his broken ankle and not being able to walk upstairs or put on pants or play with his dogs. And he was tearing up here, which I thought was overkill, but the live crowd ate it up. So whatever. And he said, Mark Henry humbled me. That's what he said. And he was going to use the physical and emotional pain to get better and stronger. He was going to repay that pain in Mark Henry 10 times over. He was going to take from Mark Henry what validates your entire career, the world title. Said he wanted Henry to come out and grant him a title match. Henry came out, said a lot of change in the 4 months show had been gone. Said he had put out Kane, ended Vladimir Kozlov's career, and put Jerry Lawler through a table. Didn't mention anything about Great Khali, by the way. Most importantly, he had beat Randy Orton to become the world champion. Said show hadn't beaten anyone, been sitting at home doing nothing for 4 months on a vacation that I afforded you. He said he would let show know about a title match, but that announcement would come on Mark Henry time, on world champion time. Show said if he didn't get the answer he was looking for by the end of the show, he was going to put Henry through a table and break his ankle. He wanted an answer or else. This segment was awesome. This segment was great.
Big Show just has the best sad face. he's got a great expressive face.
He does.
And when he looks happy, everybody cheers. Yes. And when he looks sad, everybody wants to cry.
When he looks angry, everyone is scared.
Yes.
This is all true.
He has a great face for professional wrestling.
He does.
And a great physique.
He is in the correct business.
He's a big mother bear.
He is, yes. Yeah, so it baffled me, and it still does baffle me, how awesome the Mark Henry stuff can be and how crappy everything else is. Stryker interviewed Orton. Orton said he had lost to Henry twice. He was not Christian. He was not going to beg for one more match. Instead, he was just going to go through the entire SmackDown roster until he got another title shot. Stryker asked about the walkout on Monday. Orton said if he had a problem with Hunter, he'd address him face-to-face. And he said he didn't play well with others. Stryker said that's bad news for Sheamus. Orton said yes, but it's even worse for Cody and Christian. Got the Brodus Clay video. Zeke beat up Jinder Mahal. Hit like 1,000 body slams. At one point, he tried to go for the torture rack, and Jinder went up worse for this than the Great Khali did. Think about that. And eventually, Zeke got him in the torture rack and won. This was no good. Johnny Ace paid Teddy Long a visit. In the legacy of horribly acted and poorly written dialogue segments, this is right at the top of the list. This was a first-class ticket to the Bad Acting Hall of Fame. Just imagine Johnny Ace saying these words. I want to stop by and update you that what happened on Raw Monday night put the WWE in uncharted waters. Never before in WWE history has there been a walkout. And nobody knows how this thing's going to turn out.
Mm-hmm.
Was that too much emotion?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Johnny Ace is horrible.
There's a reason.
He is a horrible public speaker.
There is a reason he succeeded in Japan, where promos are less important than they are in the U.S. He was a complete failure as a U.S. wrestler, and has not been on camera for, what, 10 years, 15?
Yes. This is not his role.
No, this is not what he was meant to do. He said Teddy better be a good job and he could trust Laurinaitis. Fucking Hornswoggle came out from under the ring.
No one cares. Move on.
Actually, yes, no one cared about that. That's true.
This show is long in the tooth.
Christian and Cody wrestled Sheamus and Randy Orton. Josh called Orton and Christian one of the most evenly matched rivalries in the WWE. I believe the whole point of that feud was that Randy beat Christian 100 times in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Had a short match, Orton won on pinning Cody Rhodes, the RKO, out of nowhere. Now they're going to feud, I guess. So Henry came out for his promo, said, you know who I am, said Big Show wasn't getting a title shot. This brought Show charging down to the ring. Security tried to break it up. He beat them all up, further reinforcing how unsafe this working environment was. Henry calmly grabbed his belt and walked away, but Show demanded a match again. Henry still said no, so Show ran him down. They brawled more. Henry went to slam him through the table. Show cut him off and chokeslammed him through the table. He was about to pilmanize the leg when Teddy cut him off and said, you get your title match, but not if you do this. And so Show was tempted and tempted and tempted, and finally he backed down, but he came back to hit Henry with a big giant chair shot to the back. And again, the Mark Henry stuff is great. Everything else blows. Are you there?
This show blows.
All right. Ours are there.
Let's finish this SmackDown report quickly.
I'm done.
Oh. I wasn't paying attention at all. I'm sitting here making a Google Plus profile. Yeah.
This show does blow.
Let me finish it here. That way I can...
I'll just sit here. Don't mind me.
Sure. What's my job title? Director of Talent Relations. Let's see. Bothell, Washington. Let's see. All right. I'm on Google Plus now, everybody. Oh, man. Look at all of the friends that I can add to my circle. David Lagana has you in their circle. Hmm. I don't know what the hell this is, to be honest with you. Oh, look. Court Bauer. Other famous people are in my circle. Hmm. I don't know. Jobber Joe. I know who that is. All right. I'll continue. Oh, my God. Look at all these possible... All right, everybody. Well, I'm on Google Plus. I don't know what this means, to be honest with you. I just saw it here as I was going through my emails. You haven't added many people to your circles, so you might not see a lot of updates in Google Plus. Want to go back and add a few more? You might be lonely. I'm just going to continue. So this is basically the a wacky Facebook thing, right? I realize I'm way behind on all this social media. Facebook.com, everybody, /official Brian Alvarez. You can follow me on Twitter @Brian Alvarez. And apparently at Google Plus as well. I guess under Brian Alvarez. I've got 3 notifications. I don't even know how this happened so quickly. So what do you think about that, Vinny?
That's great.
Are you on Google Plus?
No.
I fell asleep during your SmackDown report. I'm not going to lie. Let's talk about a real fun show. Let's talk about... What show did we watch?
World Class, Brian.
I've totally lost it.
We watched World Class Championship Wrestling.
I remember this vividly. World Class Championship Wrestling. This show was great. And it wasn't anything good on the show.
Oh, I disagree.
But no, listen. There was nothing good on the show, Vince. Like, in terms of, like, was there a great wrestling match?
No.
Was there a great promo?
No.
Was there a great angle?
No.
But guess what? Every moment of this show was fun.
Yes.
That's the difference
especially the main event.
That's the difference between wrestling as it used to be and wrestling today. Let's just look at this Jim Ross segment. Okay? You know, whether you're irate about the idea that Vince McMahon fired Jim Ross, you know, obviously Jim Ross still making money, still works for WWE, but he was fired from his on-air job live on television in front of his wife, and neither of them knew about it. You know, whether you're upset about that or not, you know, there are people on our board that don't give a shit, and there are other people that are outright, virulently outraged. Regardless, okay, in what way was that supposed to be entertaining?
No idea. Well, as I mentioned, it's not. The point of Raw is not to be entertaining. The point is to make Vince happy.
I mean, what?
It's a masturbatory program.
What was meant to be entertaining about that?
Nothing.
Because it's not like it's going to lead to anything.
No.
I mean, you know they're not going to have a match, and if somebody wins, Jim Ross comes back, and if somebody if John Laurinaitis has to leave forever, nothing like that's going to happen.
No.
They just fired Jim Ross on the air in front of him and his wife to humiliate him. And it was like, there was nothing entertaining about it.
Right.
You know? It used to be that, like, you make an entertaining wrestling show, and then the heels do something dastardly, but you get angry about it, but you're going, oh man, I hope the babyfaces get their revenge, which ultimately they do. It's not like that anymore. Now it's, let's have a show, and let's make it really stupid, and we'll make sure that the people that write the show write it so that the guy in charge laughs at it. It may not be funny to anybody else in the entire world. And, you know, the heels will get the heat all the time. And every now and then a babyface will get his revenge. But oftentimes the angle will just be dropped, so that will never happen. You know, it's just, it's not entertaining. What about Raw was entertaining last night? Nothing. You know, people are like, oh, well, you know, they're not going to go anywhere with this next week. If you believe that, you're crazy. You know, it's not going anywhere next week. None of this stuff ever goes anywhere. They come up with an idea, and they change their mind on Friday. And they rewrite the script, and then Vince changes his mind on Saturday. The script gets rewritten. Okay, so nothing ever is going to lead to anything. Every now and then, you'll have something that's like, yeah, guess what? Alberto Del Rio is going to Raw as the champion. But Alberto Del Rio was not supposed to go to Raw as a champion who just got beat by John Cena and back-ass doored his way into the title. Yeah, it's just another dork going to Mexico now. Who gives a shit? They even mentioned they're going to Raw. Nothing ever leads to anything, and it's not about entertaining the fans. It's about entertaining Vince. Who wants to watch this shit? Main event of Raw last night, that god-awful show. I know people are listening to this right now going, Brian, the show got a 3-3. That's the best rating since they went head-to-head, since football started. So the show was a success. Really? No, the show did a great opening number because everybody tuned in to find out what was going to happen with the walkout. And you want to know how great the follow-up was? The follow-up was so fucking great that hour by hour, they lost 800,000 people. They lost probably, in fact, I know they lost significantly more by the time the show was over because the overrun, the main event segment, Alberto Del Rio and CM Punk against Miz and Truth. You know what that quarter did, Vinny?
No idea.
A 2.77 because they ran everybody off because the show fucking sucked and it was not entertaining at all. And only the most hardcore, diehard WWE fans stuck around. Everybody else that has a brain, they all ran away. They got the fuck away and watched something else. Now, world class. Again, there was no great match on the show. There was no great promo. There was no great angle. But it was an hour long, and it was an hour of entertainment. And the people that sat there in the crowd, goddamn, did they love this show.
Yes, they did.
They loved this show. So, Vinny, proceed.
Show opened in a studio with modern-day Kevin Von Erich and Michael Hayes talking about the show.
in WWE studio, mind you.
In the most ridiculous clown suits you've ever seen. And this apparently is the clothing they walk around in. What's WWE Classics cost? Like $12 a month?
Less. Like $7.99.
Okay. Everyone, Michael Hayes' pants are worth paying $7.99 to see.
You know,
the trousers this man has on. Yes?
You know, for a long time, maybe I don't know what it is. Maybe I've just now realized that it is, in fact, 2011. But the charm of these old wrestlers dressing like buffoons I'm over it. You know, up until a few years ago, I would have looked at Michael Hayes wearing his ridiculous outfits, and I'd have been like, look at this fucking guy. He don't give a shit. What a cool guy. Now I look at him, it's like, dude, it's 2011. Change your fucking clothes. You know? Change your fucking clothes. You look like a clown. You look like an idiot. I don't know what this has to do with anything.
No, it,
Kevin Von Erich looked like he weighed 90 pounds.
That too, yes.
Oh, my God. And last time we saw him on this, he didn't look this bad.
And then as Michael Hayes is opening the show, here we are again, another trip back in time, Kevin just coughs right into his microphone.
He did.
So.
And they didn't bother to retake
it. No, no. You get Kevin one take for Kevin.
Mm-hmm. So, I just cannot get over this outfit. Like, I've seen him walk around a million times at the Hall of Fame in his ridiculous outfits. And it's always like, man, look at this guy. This guy's got balls. You know, I don't know if I really thought, like, he dressed like a star, because he certainly didn't dress like a star. He just dressed like just extravagant. You know, outrageous, outlandish. But now it's gone from impressively outlandish to just, like, embarrassingly goofy. I mean, I cannot believe the outfit he was wearing on this show. He looked like such a goof.
And not just a guy stuck in the 80s either. This would have looked ridiculous in the 80s.
I don't know what he was trying to do here, but it embarrassed me.
Yes.
So anyway, move on.
So they started talking about Andre the Giant, and Michael Hayes is there so that as Kevin Von Erich is talking, Hayes can keep him on topic and make sure Kevin comes to something of a lucid point within a reasonable time frame.
Sounds like you.
Yeah, actually. So, Kevin told a story about Andre being drunk in a battle royal and falling on him. He claimed Andre the Giant was 7'5".
Yes.
They went to the show. The opener was Kamala versus Rick Rudd.
Rick Rudd!
Rick Rudd would later drop a D, add an E, develop abs, and become Rick Rude.
Mm-hmm.
As it was, he was still a big, muscular, good-looking guy. And I cannot believe they took a guy who looked like this and brought him to be squashed by a fat guy with belly paint. But they did. Kamala beat him up. Rick Rudd hit some shoulder blocks, but Kamala cut him off and hit a splash to the back and pinned him. He teased a top rope splash, but Kim Chi and Skandor Akbar talked him out of it, and that was that.
Mm-hmm.
They aired a clip of Chris Adams being attacked.
I got to talk about Rick Rudd a little bit here.
Right.
First off, I was baffled that you did not know that's who Rick Rudd was.
They mentioned his name earlier, and you flipped out. I thought you were just flipping out because Rick Rudd was a silly name.
Well, no, when they were introducing the show, all the stuff that you were making fun of with Kevin Von Erich and coughing into the mic and everything like that, I mean, they flat out said it was Ravishing Rick Rude in an auspicious debut.
I caught them saying Rick Rude made his debut in the show. I missed them saying it was Rick Rudd.
Yeah. Well, you never know. There might be a Rick Rude and a Rick Rudd on the same show. I mean, it's very possible. Anyway, the point of this is Rick Rude had, he was very young. And think about this. Rick Rude on this show had been in the business, like, I think just a few years. And this was 1984. You know, he was still Rick Rudd. He was young. He was in shape. He would have been, he would have been like 24, 25 years old, I think, something like that.
Sure.
But anyway, the point of this is that on the same show that Rick Rudd was on, Andre the Giant was on, also 1984, and he was already limping. He was very heavy. He did not move very well. Just like 2 years later, he filmed The Princess Bride, and of course, they just did the Princess Bride cast reunion, and all of the people from when they talked about Andre were mentioning that, God, the goddamn, he could barely move. You know, they had to, the princess, they had to hoist her up with wires so he could carry her. He couldn't even carry her around. He was so beaten up, and you know, the Hogan match, he could barely move, and it just got progressively worse from there. But here you got Andre the Giant, who's in the beginning stages of great immobility, and then you've got Rick Rude in his early 20s, just starting out in this business. Rick Rude only outlived Andre the Giant by 6 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take care of yourself, everybody.
When you watch these old World Class shows, you cannot help. It's impossible to not go through it back to the end and do a body count.
Well, of course, but the point I'm just trying to make is, take care of yourself.
Oh, yeah, how quickly it can go downhill?
It can go downhill remarkably fast.
Yeah, that's true, too.
I mean, if you go back, the time... I mean, some of you... I mean, anyone in their mid-30s by now, you know... between today and the day the Monday Night War started, which I know a lot of you remember vividly... you remember the beginning of the Monday Night Wars, and you remember the Sting match at, you know, the Sting match with Hogan, the first one. You know, the amount of time that has passed between the beginning of the Monday Night Wars and today is how much life Rick Rude had left from this show until he died. This show when he was so young and just starting out. It's mind-boggling. That's how fast it can happen. Take care of yourselves, people.
Mm-hmm. From there, we go to Chris Adams.
Oh, actually, one more thing about Rick Rude. Hold on. And one more thing about Rick Rude is here's another thing to think about. You know, when Rick Rude was having all those matches with Ultimate Warrior, and, you know, he was a great worker in WWE.
Was.
You know, this was like the late 80s. This was only like 6 or 7 years after this match. Probably even less. Probably 5 or 6 years. You know, it was probably 88, 89, 90 that he was really hitting a stride. And this show took place in 84. So think of you saw this match, Vinny. No one else did. But the vast improvement in Ravishing Rick Rude in just four years.
That is true.
Back when you could actually travel all over the world and work great guys and have matches all the time with great workers. That's how fucking fast you could improve back in the day. Think of, like, John Cena from in the last 4 years. He's made no improvements whatsoever. You can look up and down the roster. And, like, you know, anybody who debuted... I mean, how good they were when they debuted is roughly how good they are 4 years later.
That's pretty much
some of
true.
Them get a little bit better. But largely, you get called up, and you either get called up and suck, and you suck the rest of your career. Or you get called up, and you're decent, and you stay decent. Or some people get called up, and they're pretty good, and they remain good, and sometimes they get great. But nobody is improving the way that the guys improved during this era. Just getting a chance to work a million different guys and a million great workers all over the world. It was astonishing when I saw Rick Rude here. He was so fucking green. He could do a thing. And 4 or 5 years later, awesome worker. It's amazing.
So the other clip of Chris Adams being attacked. They said this attack made him, and this is a quote from the announcer, extremely unhappy and angry. They had Adams and his valet Sunshine cutting a promo on Jimmy Garvin and his valet Precious. Chris Adams talks exactly like Nigel McGuinness. They clearly are from the same part of England. And he said he wanted his title back. Sunshine said, forget that. We need to get that tramp and Garvin out of here. So we had Jimmy Garvin versus Kevin Von Erich. Some people call wrestling two men rolling around in their underwear. Never been more true.
Oh, my God.
These men were both wearing tight white trunks. Kevin in particular, I'm just going to be blunt here, I could see his penis.
This was so unacceptable.
It was right there.
Mm-hmm.
And from some angle, even a scrotum. This, he may as well have just been nude. So, they're doing some very basic wrestling. Stuff like headlocks and arm bars and, distressingly, head scissors. But every once in a while, Garvin would escape and he would roll outside. And the heat for this.
It was unbelievable.
It was. I could not believe what I was. Just white hot nuclear heat. They also chanted, Precious sucks.
I gotta see how many people fit into the sportatorium.
Not that many.
Not for thinking about this.
So
I guess 4,500.
That's a little more than I would have thought, but...
I thought significantly less as well, but...
I was gonna guess 3.
Yeah.
But it's not Madison Square Garden or anything.
Well, no, but you know, the way that it was shot, it looked significantly less than 4,500. And
I see.
I was just sitting there thinking, you know, I think of ROH and their small buildings and Impact and their small buildings. I guess these buildings were much bigger, but my God, the crowd was deafening.
Yeah. So they did nothing. Like I say, head scissors, arm bars, headlocks. At a random point, Chris Adams came out, and as loud as the crowd had been before, they dwarfed that reaction when Chris Adams came out.
Mm-hmm.
There is no wrestler in the country who can get a reaction like this in any building in the country doing anything.
No.
In all seriousness, if Steve Austin walks out in the middle of Raw last week, it will not match the reaction Chris Adams got here walking out in the middle of this match.
I don't think so.
So, he distracted Garvin. Kevin pinned him with a roll-up. A complete burial of Jimmy Garvin. But the gimmick was that he was doing the chicken shit heel gimmick, and the America's title belt was held up between Garvin and Adams. And I'm assuming from the way this went down that Garvin eventually would win the title back and be the undeserving chicken shit heel champion. So, there you go.
I don't even know. I really, honest to God, can't think of anything that would get a reaction like he got here nowadays. I just can't think of anything. Like, it would have to be like a WrestleMania, and like some beloved wrestler would literally have to come back to life and walk out for people to react like they reacted to this guy here. It's astonishing. And he just walked out. He just came out.
Yes.
They'd already seen him do an interview earlier in the show. He just came out. It was amazing.
They showed clips of Skandor Akbar and the Super Destroyers, who we looked it up later. It was Wild Bill Irwin and his brother Scott.
Mm-hmm.
They hit Iceman King Parsons with a fireball. They had assorted other violence to him. And Iceman said he had a surprise for the Super D's tonight.
Wild Bill Irwin.
The Goon.
It was funny because I think when you first mentioned their names, you said Billy and Steve Irwin. I think that's what you said.
One of them was listed was listed as Barney Irwin.
That's what it was. Barney Irwin. Like, who the fuck is Barney Irwin?
Yeah.
Okay, I got it.
So he said he had a surprise for the Super D's. In walked Andre the Giant in his blazer and afro. Andre the Giant was like 9 sheets to the wind here. He talked for a while, said something about how he was going to stand in the corner and he's not just going to be Iceman's partner. They were going to go somewhere later. And he stopped talking. No one had any idea on earth what the fuck he meant.
I have no idea what he was talking about.
So Iceman translated this as saying he could do whatever he wanted because Andre was going to back him up.
You know, I've heard a lot of old wrestlers, including Hogan, say, you know, you worked with Andre, he just did whatever he wanted. You know, and I think that, you know, I think most people hear that and interpret it as, well, you know, he was just big, strong. He was a giant. He did whatever he wanted. But now I presume it just means that he couldn't understand a goddamn word he said, so he couldn't call spots. So he just went in there and he did what he wanted.
Could be it
too. You know?
Yes.
I gotta find somebody that wrestled Andre the Giant and just ask him, how the fuck did you do a match? I couldn't understand a word he said.
So we had the main event.
Fountain of Charisma, though.
Oh, yeah, but he was.
Yeah.
We had these Super Destroyers versus Iceman Parsons and Andre the Giant. Andre was introduced as hailing from Canada. The whole thing, apparently.
Possible.
So if you've never seen Iceman Parsons, and know a lot of you haven't, he was
shame on you.
He was a fountain of charisma.
Oh, yes.
Shame on you.
You know what was great about this match?
A lot!
I'll tell you what was great about this match. One thing you don't see anymore today that actually when I watch this match, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. So, nowadays, I mean, everyone knows the pattern of a match. Babyface runs wild. The heel gets the heat. The babyface makes the comeback. You do your near falls. You do your finish. I think the term they use now at the beginning is the babyface gets his shine. I always hated that word, by the way. Because when I learned wrestling, when Buddy and Tim Flowers, those guys, they never used the word shine. Maybe they just didn't. I don't know. But the fact that they never used it, whenever I heard that word, I just thought, stop saying shine. What the fuck does that even mean, shine? But anyway, apparently that's a common term. So anyway, babyfaces get their shine. But like nowadays, when it's time for the babyface to get a shine at the beginning of the match, it's like, you lock up and you do a spot and the babyface does his arm drag, or you do another, and then you do another spot and the babyface does another move and gets the better of the heel, and then the heel cuts off, that sort of thing. You watch it on Raw all the time. Just watch, except when the TV match, watch a pay-per-view. Watch a WWE pay-per-view match. And watch the beginning of the match when the babyface gets his shine. He just basically out-wrestles the heel for a while. And then the heel gets cut off, all right? Or the heel cuts him off. Not in this match. In this match, it was like 5 straight minutes of the babyface making the heels look like goddamn confounded idiots. They stumbled around. They bonked into each other. They feigned great fear. They bumbled in and out of the ring. They looked like complete fools. The baby faces danced around in the middle of this. And then the fans just went haywire to see the good guys make the bad guys look like damned idiots. It was awesome. It was fun. Then the heels cut him off, and the fans are just begging for the fun to come back. That's what a match is supposed to be. You know, it's not about just like the babyface wins on the guy for a while, and then the heel wins on the babyface, and then the babyface starts winning again, and then you do your finish and that sort of thing. What it's supposed to be is you give the fans a real fucking good time. Maybe even if it's like Sin Cara, he does a bunch of flying around, and the fans love all the flying. So then you ground him during the heat, so the fans are begging for him to get a chance to fly again. That's the fucking psychology. And the psychology should be that the baby faces make the match so fun because the heel is looking like such a fool, and you laugh at his pratfalls and how humiliated he is. And then he gets the heat, and you're begging for him to get his again. You're begging for this guy who now he's not letting the baby face get up. He's cheating. He's just basically being an asshole, and he's making this match no fun. You're begging for the fun to come back. That's what this match was. This was not like a great technical match, but holy shit, the fans loved the baby faces at the beginning. They hated the heels in the middle, and then they loved the baby faces coming back at the end. It was awesome.
That's all true. Best spots in this actually involved Andre the Giant. Iceman started, of course. He did some stuff, and then he hit a headbutt. And as he hit this headbutt, the Super Destroyer in the ring fell down and sold his head and kind of got up with his back to the babyface corner and turned around. And when he turned around, Andre the Giant was in the ring. And he did the greatest cartoon backpedal runaway in fear, waving his arms in the air.
Yes.
He went back to his corner where he thought there'd be safety and help. But the other Super Destroyer turned his back and ran down the apron as well. Great comedy there. And then they did a spot. A spot that, as you noted, I can't believe I never thought of and stole. So one of these Super Destroyers manages to briefly get Andre the Giant in a headlock. And you got the sense Andre was just playing with the guy anyway. And Andre pushed him in the ropes, and he pushed him off, and Andre the Giant did a drop down. He quickly, as quickly as he could, got down to his belly so the Super Destroyer could run over him.
Mm-hmm.
Then he had to quickly get to his feet. But he's Andre the Giant. He doesn't do anything quickly. So he starts to get up, and he's halfway up, and he's on his feet but still on his hands, and his ass is sticking straight up in the air, pointing to the Super Destroyer, and the Super Destroyer hits the ropes, and he's coming off the ropes, and there's Andre the Giant's ass. And the Super Destroyer cannot stop running.
Yes.
And he collided with this enormous ass and fell down.
Mm-hmm.
This is comedy. This is comedy in its purest form.
Awesome. Absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the babyfaces made their big comeback, and the finish sucked.
If you actually go back and watch a lot of these shows, they did a lot more DQs than they do now. Kamala ran in for the DQ. He attacked Andre. They're going to do a battle of the Giants. Andre fought him off and cleaned house by himself. And the babyfaces, I don't know if Iceman did this with all his partners, but it was never as great here. He would do a thing where he'd put out both hands as if to say, give me five. His partner would give him five. And then Iceman would give his partner five. And they would bump asses. Andre the Giant did this spot. He gave Iceman five. Iceman gave him five. They bumped asses. And yes, Iceman threw himself across the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Gold!
It was awesome. It was fucking awesome. And again, it's not like Andre the Giant could do anything. And Iceman King Parsons was hardly the best worker there's ever been. And, the heels...
He did have more charisma than the entire Raw roster put together.
Well,
right
sure,
now.
Of course he did. But the point I'm trying to make is no one in this ring was a great worker.
No.
In the sense of, you know, I don't know. And Eddie Guerrero, for example.
These were not Jack Briscoe.
No, but they understood the basic psychology of wrestling, and they could have a great match that the fans loved.
They knew how to entertain.
They knew how to entertain. That's what this is supposed to be all about. And this match was so entertaining. I loved every moment of it with all my fucking heart. And
what I actually wrote down was, this segment made me happy to be a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
And I needed that.
I needed that today as well. And the funny thing is, like, you know, when Vince McMahon hired the Big Show, the Giant from WCW, he basically said, you know, these fucking people in WCW, they didn't know how to book you. I'm going to book you. I want you to be like Andre the Giant. And of course, within a week, actually, it was 3 weeks.
I believe this is his second show.
It was like his second show, 3 weeks in or something like that. He got pinned by Steve Austin. He was just another guy, and he has been ever since. And I like the Big Show, but no one works like Andre the Giant. Andre, more than anyone else, maybe that I've ever seen, and obviously he's Andre the fucking Giant, he knew how to be a giant.
Yeah.
He knew how to wrestle like a giant. And he didn't try to do anything else.
No. It is funny because they announced him as 7'4". Right after they announced Iceman Parsons as 5'11", and you see them standing next to each other, and you think, "Well, that's not a foot and a half difference."
Sure,
but as exaggerated as his height was, his just bigness.
Well, yeah, he had the acromegaly.
Yes, he did.
He had the freaky proportions.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he looked. That's why no one else looks like Andre the Giant.
Yes,
except kind of Bigfoot Silva there for a while. But anyway, so yeah, this show was awesome. Find it on 24/7. Enjoy it, and that's all I gotta say about that. All right, it is Tuesday, and so we gotta do some shout outs here.
Oh Jesus!
Yeah, first free show that we've done in 3 weeks. For those of you that are freeloaders, you do get one show a week free, but we are now changing it. We're alternating 3 weeks now. So next week, you're going to get, I think, a free Wrestling Observer Radio. And then the week after that, you're going to get a free Figure Four Daily. And then the week after that is another free Brian Ebony show. So you're going to get a chance to sample the three main shows that I do here on this website. And if you like what you hear, sign up. We do radio shows every single day. In fact, many Thursdays, I end up doing 4 shows in one day. It's ridiculous. But I do them, and we cover everything. We talk about the most god-awful Raws of all time. We talk about Impact. We have shows after all the pay-per-views. So, of course, with the current UFC, WWE, and TNA schedule, that's about 1 million shows every month. And I do Figure Four Daily Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I do a show with Josh Nason covering MMA every other Wednesday. I do Wrestling Observer Radio with Dave 3 to 4 times a week. Brian and Vinny's show at least twice a week. And all of these shows, plus all of the other shows done by our many spectacular hosts, covering everything, mixed martial arts, pro wrestling, history of wrestling, Japan, Mexico, hockey, list goes on and on. And After Dark Radio, our version of the old Art Bell show, which airs every Friday. All of that free with your subscription. It's $10.99 per month. That's it. No additional fees, $10.99. You can sign up one time and never again, or you can sign up every month, or you can get a recurring subscription and be billed every month and never have to worry about it again. But not only do you get all of these new shows, 15 to 20 brand new shows a week, but you get our entire archive free with that $10.99. We have every show that we've ever done dating back to June of 2005. There are over 3,000 shows in the archives, over 3,000 hours, obviously, probably about closer to 6,000 hours of audio, a ridiculous amount of audio. As noted, if you are listening to this here for free, you get one show a week. You could get a show every single day to listen to at work, to listen to on your drive to work, to listen to when you're working out, perhaps when you're in the shower. I don't know. Don't listen to this in the shower, everybody. But anyway, wherever you listen to your audio, and whatever you listen to it on, iPod, iPhone, iPad, Droid, you can get these shows on iTunes, downloaded to your listening device every morning when you wake up. That's available from the website as well. But all of these things are available with your subscription. I've said this a million times. If you like the free show every week, I guarantee you will love a subscription. I guarantee it. And if you don't, you can email me, brian@wrestlingobserver.com, and we'll make it right for you. But no one ever emails. Because, again, if you like this show and you sign up, you will be happy. I guarantee it. So, anyway, check it out at wrestlingobserver.com if you're listening to this right now. You can always head up to the site, too, and scroll down the right-hand side of the page, a listing of our latest four free radio shows. They're absolutely free. You don't have to sign up for anything, give your email, and none of that crap. Just click the link, download the MP3, listen to it on your listening device or on the computer, and that's a sample. That's all you do if you sign up, except you've got thousands of shows that you can download. Interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of wrestling and MMA. Bruno Sammartino's been on the show a million times. We just had Ricky Ortiz of ECW on the show today. He was awesome. He was the most awesome guy.
I'm sure that's true. You just segued from Ric Flair to Ricky Ortiz.
I know.
That seems a little rough.
I know. But Ricky Ortiz, I actually talked him off the air for about 15 minutes after the show. I wish I would have recorded it. He's the coolest guy and the nicest guy.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah. He
so
was
he's
great.
He's not going to kill you.
Oh, no. God, okay. No. He knew he got called up too early. He talked all about it. You know, he was great. And he was great on that Urban Wrestling show. But anyway, the point is, Bruno Sammartino, Lance Storm is on every other week. Mick Foley's been on the show. Bret Hart, Bruno Sammartino. Did I mention him? I think I have a million times. All of these available in the archives. Bryan Danielson. The list goes on and on. So check it out at WrestlingObserver.com. And if you sign up, you get a free shout out. And we're going to go over those right here. So sign up. Send the shout out to Bryan at WrestlingObserver.com. Put shout out in the subject line, and we will read it here on the next free Bryan and Vinny show. Adam here is just saying, wondering if you could plug our wrestling and MMA blog, Never Hand Over, during one of your Bryan and Vinny shows. The address is www.neverhandover.com. That's from Adam. Neverhandover.com.
All right.
I don't even know what that is. I should go up there and check it out. It is a blog, and first thing I see on the blog is a review of the December 16th, 1999 edition of Thunder, which I would guess is actually probably a better show than the Raw that I watched on Monday night. That's up at neverhandover.com. All right. Next one here is from Scale. Oh, I guess he was asking permission for a shout out. I told him yes. So I hope he sent it. I may not have answered him. Yes, Scale the Wall, you do get a free shout-out if you procreate. So send it to me, 150 words or less. Shout-out in the subject line. I'll read it here on the next show. All right, this is from Peter H. from the board. Guys, I've been a longtime member of the site, cashing in my wedding shout-out as I'm getting married Saturday, October 8th. Oh, my God, the deed's done.
I missed it.
Found a great girl who before me hardly watched wrestling and never watched MMA. Now, a few years later, she still doesn't like wrestling too much. She hates John Cena as much as I do, and she enjoys the High Flyers. And I introduced her to MMA by watching The Ultimate Fighter, and she was hooked! We never miss an episode. We actually went to UFC 124 in Montreal. How did I know that it would work? On our first date, she asked me if I was reading anything current. I said Hitman by Bret Hart. She was interested, as wrestling wasn't her thing. Anyways, go check out my MMA podcast, Glove Up or Shut Up, at angrymarks.com, where myself and my co-host Stevie J break down the week's MMA news and notes. That is, once again, angrymarks.com. Glove Up or Shut Up. Congratulations, Peter.
Way to go.
It's always great news when you find a good woman. It's always great news. Ain't that right, Vinny?
Absolutely.
This is from Sam here. Bryan, I know you don't like drop requests with shout-outs, let alone a 3.5-minute-long clip, but this was, without question, the funniest moment in the entire history of your site that I've heard. Please just consider it another song submission, but it's a million times better than anything I could create. In the end of 2008, on the Vinny V Sports Report, there was a call from a deaf person in which the operator had to relay the question back and forth with Vinny. I think it would be hilarious if you played it on the air with Vinny. You actually did the next night on the Bryan and Vinny show, but to my knowledge, you have never done it again since. You guys were laughing your asses off. You have my word, it's completely unedited. I only boosted the audio a few dBs to fit the current show better. He is attached here. Listen, Sam, I'm not going to play this today because we're an hour and a half into the show, but send me an email on Thursday and I will play it on that show. Do you remember this, Vince?
I do.
This was a call that killed the Vinny V Sports Report.
Yeah.
I don't think you ever did a show after that.
It's because of calls like this, and I decided this is not the show I want to do.
Yes.
And that's why I quit.
So Thursday we'll play the show that killed Vinny's radio career. All right.
Well, this show killed my radio career.
This is from Ace. Not that Ace. I've been a subscriber for years. I was inspired to finally cash in my shout-out after listening to the August 31st show. Big shout-out to my first son, Jake, who was born in January. Love being a dad. He brings so much joy to my life. Another shout-out to my wonderful wife, Jamie, who occasionally listens to the various shows with me. Because of you, Brian, we now say, "How's it going?" to each other all the time. That's awesome.
God, I hate you people.
That's the life I have changed. God, that brings me joy. Can we get a special how's it going shout out to Jamie for me? And how about one to Jake as well? How's it going, Jamie and little Jake? People love that. Actually, realistically, they hate it.
I hate it. Mm-hmm. No, I don't hate it.
Finally, shout out to you, Brian and Dave as well. We met you at the Lesnar Velasquez weigh-ins last year. Sat with both of you at the Chili's get-together before the fight. Oh my God, let me try to think if I remember this. Did I give a how's it going to your lay friend, your wife, at that? I believe I may have. If not, I apologize. I'll do it next time. But I do remember you two. For freeloaders out there, support these two fine gentlemen. Subscribe to the site. Love all the content. Keep up the great work. That's from Ace. A fine man with a fine wife and a fine child. Fine family. All right, finally here, we've got Raul. First off, wrestling sucks now.
Amen.
On to more important matters. Wednesday, October 5th, is a date that will be forever engraved in our hearts. On that great day, my beautiful girlfriend gave birth to our first child, sweet little Marianne. We truly have been blessed. Being a father is already way more rewarding than I ever thought possible. It has put everyday life into perspective and reminds me that some things just aren't worth getting worked up over. My shout-outs go to sleep! Who needs it? Being backlogged on newsletters and radio shows, when will I ever find the time? My girlfriend for being so strong during all of this and generally putting up with me. And my little girl. If I do my job right, you will never have anything to do with pro wrestling. Thanks for all your work.
Well, that's true.
Hopefully I will keep up. That's from Raul. Here's a picture of my little angel. Could you forward it to Granny so she can see her new gang member affiliate? Thank you. Let me look at this picture. This is the cutest fucking picture I've ever seen. I hope the little girl is not listening right now, as I just swore. But it is a tiny little baby who actually looks like she's in one of those glass, you know, those glass things you bake a cake in?
A cake pan.
A cake pan. Looks like she's in a glass cake pan, and she's got a little bunny hand puppet in there. I'm going to forward this to my wife and Granny.
Put her in the oven.
Oh, my God. My wife is going to melt into butter.
Are you sure you want this to happen? Hang
oh,
on.
Sure.
I'm advising you here.
It's fine. All right. I'm going to forward these on. And a huge congratulations to Raul and his little ladies. A beautiful picture there. A beautiful daughter. And congratulations to you guys. And that's how it works here, everybody. We're a family here at the website, despite all the ranting and raving. If you procreate, if you give birth to a cute little munchkin, as Raul did, you get a free shout-out. Send it in, and we'll spread the word to the empire, the newest member, such as this little cutie here, Marianne. So, anyway, congratulations, Raul. And that's it for today! 93 minutes here on this show. Amazing. And absolutely free. So, you freeloaders, you owe it to me to sign up for what I just gave you here today. WrestlingObserver.com. Just do me a favor. Try it one time. $10.99. Just give it a try. I promise you, you will like it. Especially if you hate Raw.
And who wouldn't?
This show is so much better than Raw. On its worst fucking day, this show is better than the Raw on Monday night. So check it out, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow. Brand new shows rest of the week. And we'll talk to you after a while.
Adios.